Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, April 28th. I'm Ray Graff. Are you too busy with work, the kids, countless other daily tasks to prepare hearty meals during the work week? Well, personal chef Mary Kenny is in the studio with tips for crafting tasty meals for those on the go. Having a hard time finding quick and easy recipes? This is the program for you. Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. You may also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. Meal preparation, pantry stocking, your calls are coming up. It's Food Friday. It begins after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Food Friday, and today we want to help those busy people who struggle to find the time to prepare hearty, healthy meals. If you're constantly running around and being in the kitchen, it's one of the last things on your mind sometimes. Well, this is the show for you. In the studio to answer your questions is personal chef Mary Kenny. Before becoming an attorney, Mary worked in restaurants for 19 years in her home state of Connecticut. Her company, Legal Pantry, offers custom meal and menu preparation for busy clients. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, and you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Before we start the show, I just want you to look over into the control room and see one happy engineer, Zach the engineer, who is chowing on some of the food you brought. And, you know, he's been happy. He's been engineering the show for several years now, and he's never so much as gotten a crumb. So he's really happy here before the show. Well done. Okay.
Well, I just got a thumbs up. So
you got a thumbs up?
That's a good sign.
See, I usually get a different digit. And so you're really doing well. Okay, you were an attorney. This is a career transition that we need to discuss before we get too far. So you were... Were you in the courtroom?
Yeah, I was a litigation attorney for 10 years here in Albany.
Wow.
And I would say, well, every firm that I worked for was wonderful, but the work that I was doing just was really uninspiring. And
really?
That's the nicest way I can put it.
But prior to becoming an attorney, you had worked in restaurants.
I did. Starting from the age of 15 until I was 34, I worked in restaurants. Everything from delis to, I started out in a deli when I was 15 to 4-star restaurants in Connecticut.
So that helped you get pay through law school, presumably?
Yes. Wow. Yep, everything.
It's such a fast-paced lifestyle. And then you go into sort of the hoity-toity world of legal work. Mm-hmm. And then what drew you back?
Well, I've always loved cooking. When I worked in restaurants, I did... Most of the time was spent in the front of the house, waitressing, bartending. That was out of necessity.
Yeah.
And I was always interested in what was going on in the kitchen. I did do some work in the kitchen. I did some line work on slow nights for one of the restaurants that I worked in. I did a lot of prep work for weddings and big events like that. But I was, even when I was out in front of the house, I was always interested in what was happening in the kitchen. I've always loved food. I've always loved to cook. So that was always there.
Yeah.
And towards the end of my tenure, I am still licensed and I do still practice.
Oh, good.
Maybe we'll get to that. But
I'll watch what I say then. All right, fine.
But towards the end of my full-time litigation career of 10 years, I was cooking more and more. And that was really, it was like my therapy. So I called it, I would make meals on every Sunday. An ideal Sunday would be one that was spent all day cooking. And people are always like, oh, you should open a restaurant. I mean, people were telling me that for years, but having done it for 19 years, that side of it never appealed to me. I just wanted to cook.
It's so funny that you found it therapeutic to cook, because anytime I have to cook, it is just the opposite.
I know.
It is stressful.
I know.
And so one of the things you do is you teach people sort of how to do the basic things.
Right.
And I know that in your legal pantry, which, by the way, I think is a very interesting name. it's food, but it's nothing to do with legal except you.
Right.
So you in addition to going to people's homes and spending a few hours preparing X number of days of dishes to warm up, you also teach. And so what are some of the things you will teach somebody in their own home?
I find that most of the people that reach out to me for cooking lessons are people who really just, they struggle with the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the most joy out of that, because my personal philosophy is that our health is precious. It really, truly is. And it comes down to the food that we eat, exercise, and sleep. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, being able to teach somebody the basics of how to prepare a meal for them that's healthy as they define it, which we can talk about that too, because healthy is a very controversial subject
right
for a lot of people.
Are.
But being able to teach people just the basics so that they can do that for themselves it's really important to me, because I think it's very important, you know, on a personal level for taking care of yourself.
What do you consider to be a basic? I consider a basic something I can handle, boiling water, mm-hmm. making toast. What do you consider to be a basic?
Well, I try to teach people the basic cooking techniques, from braising to sautéing, roasting. So maybe roasted chicken, roasted vegetables, sautéing burgers, or, you know, doing something on the stove, sautéing a vegetable. Just, you know, again, just those basic techniques.
Mm-hmm.
I like to give people an idea of how to work with different flavor profiles, whether it's, you know, Italian or Spanish. Just the spices and herbs that go along with those regional cooking flavors, so that they can learn that.
How did you learn that?
Well, I worked in restaurants for almost 20 years.
Okay, so just you learned by
right,
doing.
Right. And I also, that's something else that I try to teach people, is they get very intimidated in the kitchen, and you really can't. You've got to experiment.
You have to expect to make mistakes.
You have to expect to make mistakes, because that's how you learn.
Mm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Mary Kenny is here, and her company is Legal Pantry. And today we will talk to you about things you can do to prepare hearty, healthy meals on the go, or when you are on the go and you need to prepare things. So give me an example of something I could prepare in the morning or on a Sunday and have it ready to go on a Monday.
Well, on a Sunday, that seems to be the day that most people that do the quote-unquote meal prep, that's the day that they spend doing it. The key elements to meal prepping just in general are planning, prepping, and then executing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that people find the process very intimidating. And it comes with, they don't know what to make, they don't know how much to make, they have a hard time planning ahead.
Is it intimidating, or is it laziness?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Maybe not laziness, it's just, it's a priority thing. People often say, I don't have time.
Yeah.
And that can be time for anything, not just cooking. It could be time for exercise. It could be time for getting your taxes done. It could be, you know, time for anything that we have to do that maybe we don't necessarily want to do it.
Right.
But with planning for meal prep, I mean, if it's something new that you're starting, I'll tell someone to just focus on the protein. Protein, that's how I start my menus, is, you know, is it going to be chicken? Is it going to be fish? Is it going to be turkey? And then I build around that.
Hmm.
So maybe in the beginning, for the first couple of weeks, just think about your proteins. Look at your week ahead. Look at what you have going on. What are your busiest days? Make Mondays the easiest, because nobody wants to come home after a Monday after work and put something complicated together.
Correct.
Doing theme nights can be really helpful. So a taco night, a meatless night, a pasta night. So you already have that kind of structure
right
outlined. So then you just build around it.
When you go in, now one of the things you offer is you will go into someone's home for a few hours and prepare meals for a week, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go in, do you say, here's the way we're going to do this, or do you take advice from the person, the client?
For all of my clients, whether it's a dinner party or my weekly meal preparation clients, particularly those, I do a very in-depth consultation right at the very beginning once we decide to work together.
Stop there.
Yes.
Do you then at some point say, well, I don't want to work with this person? Will you say this person is just doesn't have any want to eat anything healthy at all or anything really good at all, and I can't do this?
You know, that hasn't happened, but I suppose that it very easily could.
Oh, yeah, come on over to my house. I'm sure it'll happen.
You know, it's funny because I do, my job is to prepare the foods that people want to eat.
Yeah.
I had a client who they wanted their son to eat better. So, you know, when we first started working together, every week I send over a proposed menu for the client's approval before mm-hmm. I go ahead and shop and cook.
Yeah.
And so I would have stuff on there that was healthy, And they would be like, oh, can you make them pizza instead? Can you make them cheeseburgers instead? Can you make them mac and cheese instead? So all of these things that I would propose, they just kept changing.
Right.
You know,
well, that's a common problem, right? Mm-hmm, people like to eat junk.
Well, you balance it out. You try to eat healthy most of the time, and then you give yourself, you know, a day or two to during the week, you know, your weekends, or follow the 80-20 rule.
What's the 80-20 rule?
You eat well 80% of the time, and then the other 20%, you enjoy the foods that you like. You eat pizza, you eat burgers. You don't kill yourself over it.
I have had it wrong all these years. I had the 20-80 rule. I'll go figure. It is Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Mary Kenny is our guest, and we'll talk about some of the great food she has brought with her today. If you have a question about preparing food on the go, it's time to call 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, offering conference spaces, lodging, and family activities, silverbay.org. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. And Big Y, for more than 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 5 locations in the Berkshires, with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood, BigY.com.
Hello again. It's Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Ray Graff here with you at 2:21 on your Friday afternoon. Our guest today is Mary Kenny of Legal Pantry, and all the food you brought. Let's start with this beautiful thing here. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bun on the top, but it's not.
Okay. That is a client favorite. I brought in all client favorites today. It's a salmon slider.
Oh, yeah.
I do salmon burgers a lot. I made that a little bit smaller. So it's a salmon slider on a russet potato bun with ramp aioli, because ramps are in season right now, and some microgreens.
It's a beautiful present. I thought it was a crab cake, but it's a similar
recipe. It looks like a crab cake.
What goes into that?
It has salmon, red peppers, onion, celery, a little bit of Old Bay seasoning, capers, some scallion, Dijon mustard, a little bit of mayo. Mm. And just a little bit of breadcrumb.
And I love the potato. It's just a potato roll, but it's just a piece of potato, right? How do you do that?
You slice the russet potato into discs and you roast them.
So this is not fried, it's roasted.
A little Old Bay seasoning,
it's
salt.
It's very hearty and very delicious. This is, and I had a bite of this. In fact, this is what made Zach the happiest engineer in town. This is the chicken taco.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
The chicken in the chicken taco is my citrus pulled chicken, which is, it's a client favorite, and it's a very easy chicken dish that anybody can make. It can be made from, if you have a leftover roasted chicken, you can make it from poaching a chicken breast, sautéing a chicken breast, or really any type of chicken that you have on hand. In any way, it's prepared simply. So you just pull it apart. I soak it in citrus. I do orange, lemon, and lime.
And it shows. I mean, one bite, and it's right there in your face.
Yep. I like very bright flavors.
It's very good.
And so you just marinate it for as long as you can.
How long would be the minimum?
Probably 20 minutes.
Really? That's all?
Yeah.
I think marinade, it's like 12 hours, 22 hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want fast meals.
Yeah.
And you want to have a lot of flavor. So that's why you... as much citrus as you have on hand. If you have orange juice on hand, you can use that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use the zest too, because that really punches up the flavor. And then you just caramelize some onions in the pan, add in a little garlic, some oregano, and cook that all together. I like to cook it till it gets a little bit crispy.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can put on top of a salad. You can put it over rice for a rice bowl. You can do it in a taco. It's very versatile.
I would think this would be popular with the kids.
It is. Because, you know, it's pretty simple. It's not too far out, and most kids like tacos. So that's a perfect, and it's something that you can do on a Sunday, and you can do a large batch of it and have it for about 4 days.
Have all the parts ready to go.
Right. I mean, most people, it's easy to pick up a chicken. You can even use a rotisserie, an already made rotisserie mm-hmm. chicken. So it's easy. And
yeah.
A well-stocked pantry would include a lemon or a lime.
Okay.
So.
Speaking of the well-stocked pantry, the third thing that you mm-hmm. brought, and hang in there, Gene and Ron, we'll get to the phones in a minute at 800-348-2551. This is some sort of a grain, mm-hmm. and it looks like eggplant. What do we have here?
That is a farro and roasted eggplant salad, and this exemplifies having a well-stocked pantry on hand because it has some uncured green olives, sun-dried tomatoes, toasted pine nuts, fresh basil, there's olive oil and lemon, salt and pepper, and that's about it. And so...
I love this. You can... The pine nuts are a great addition to this thing.
Pine nuts are a pantry item that I like to always have on hand, as well as a can of olives. And this can be made with barley, it can be made with brown rice, any kind of grain that you have on hand. So let's say you do a roasted chicken dinner with rice and roasted vegetables. Anything that you have left over can be translated into a salad just like this. You just toss what you have on hand, dice up some sun-dried tomatoes. Those are great to have on hand in the fridge.
How long will that keep? If you made a big batch of that, how long could you... Could you hit it 3 nights in a row, 4 nights in a row, or would it get it real soggy after a while?
I'd say 3 nights.
Yeah?
Yep. You might want to just, before you eat it, blast another squeeze of lemon juice on there.
I love the fact that you love the citrus. This is it's very mild mm-hmm. citrus, but you have that edge mm-hmm. to it, and it goes great with the eggplant and the pine nuts.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. Let's take a call or two here. 800-348-2551 is our number. Mary Kenny is our guest. Let's go to Jean in Saratoga Springs.
Hello. I was wondering if Mary had a recommendation, maybe three different ways to prepare chicken, that would be healthy recipes. I roast chicken a lot, but I'm looking for some different recipes.
Hi, Jean. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's the chicken that I brought today that we just talked about, my citrus pulled chicken. Did you hear the discussion on that one?
Yes.
Okay. So that's
Sounds
one way.
Great.
Chicken thighs are one of my absolute favorites. And I have a very easy recipe that my clients absolutely love. So you get boneless, skinless chicken thighs.
Yeah.
Sprinkle them with some salt and pepper. And believe it or not, a little bit of cinnamon. And let's say you happen to have a green apple on hand or some caramelized onion or some scallion. I've done it with green apple and scallion. So you just lay the chicken thigh flat, season it, and then lay the apple over it, the scallion, fold it up, and wrap a piece of smoked bacon around it.
Ooh.
And then you just roast it.
Great.
And it takes about 20 minutes in the oven. You might want to hit it at the end under the broiler just to crisp up that bacon, and it is so incredibly good. Just that little dash of cinnamon is, along with the apple and then the smoky bacon, it's incredible. And then another... A healthy, let's see, how about poaching chicken has a really bad reputation.
Why?
Because it's very bland.
Yeah.
But it's also, if someone's watching calories and you're looking for a way to cook it without any oil, it's a great way to do that. You can season the water with a bay leaf, some garlic, some onion, some pickling spices, some wine. So you just poach it in a very low simmer for about 12 minutes. And then once you have that, a lean protein like that, you can pair it with something with a lot of flavor, like a pesto, or today I brought on that chicken taco is a rhubarb and cucumber pico de gallo.
Ooh.
So I love pairing a lean protein with something with a lot of flavor, whether it's a vinaigrette or a pesto or something like that, like a salsa.
Give us the recipe for that when we're done with Jean.
Okay.
Jean, you want to follow up?
I am all set. They were... Wonderful suggestions. Thanks so much, Mary.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jean. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. All right, let's have a quick recipe for this because it is delicious.
This is a rhubarb and cucumber pico de gallo. And it's very easy. You just chop up the rhubarb, tiny little pieces, the same with the cucumber, red pepper, red onion, and it just has lime and cilantro in there and a little salt, and that's it.
Mm. It's a really nice touch. You know, so many of the things you have here today, salmon maybe notwithstanding, well within a budget. If you're on an economical budget, a lot of these things I could see you can get a lot of bang for your buck.
Well, the salmon, I used a fresh salmon for this, but you can get some good quality canned wild caught salmon.
Yep.
And that's a great pantry thing to have on hand.
Yeah.
Because it's good to go. I mean, all you have to do is mix it with a little mayonnaise, a little Dijon mustard, you know, anything else that you have on hand, a little diced onion, and form it into a patty, fry it up, and you're good to go.
Well, you talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? How well stocked is your pantry at home?
It's very well stocked.
Is it?
For the most part.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. We go to Ron in Nisopus. Ron, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hi, Ron.
Show. You're welcome.
Hey, I just want to extol the virtues of a very simple peasant dish, escarole and beans.
Love it.
It's my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
You just chop up the escarole, steam it for about half an hour with the top on and some chicken stock. Add a can of cannellini beans. Heat that through, and then you can put meatballs in, sausage in. You can cook shrimp in it. You can lay a piece of cod on top and steam it for 10 minutes. It's a healthy, easy 1-2-3 meal that you have for a couple of nights.
That's good.
Thanks, Ron. Escarole and beans is one of my absolute favorites. I like to add a little crushed red pepper in there just for a little kick. But I make it very similar to what you just described. And you're right, it can go with chicken, it can go with fish, and it's also a great vegetarian meal. Mm. If you leave out the chicken stock, you can use a vegetable stock.
Yeah.
So, and the beans are protein.
And I drop a few frozen shrimp in there, and in 10 minutes I get shrimp in there also.
That's great. Frozen shrimp are one of my recommended pantry items because they cook very quickly.
How long will they keep in a freezer, though?
They'll keep for up to a year.
Okay.
A bag of frozen shrimp, sure.
Speaking of vegetarian, this question comes in. I'm not sure whether we got this from email or how we got it.
Okay.
What tips do you have for a vegetarian who wants to meal prep but is worried about fruits and vegetables losing their freshness? A fair question, pantry lady.
That is a very fair question. Well, I think that if you prepare your grains and your protein might be beans or tofu, maybe seitan, if you prepare that ahead of time and you get all of that done, then maybe you can break up your vegetable and fruit preparation into twice a week. So maybe Sunday, Thursday.
So get it fresh a couple of days
a week. You can shop twice a week and then do your prep twice instead of doing it on Sunday. And then by Friday or Saturday, your salad is kind of wilted.
But again, a lot of times the vegetables will go bad, or the salad, the lettuce will wilt because you don't have a plan. A lot of this strikes me that if you have a plan going into a week, you're so much better off.
You have to have a plan. I can't stress that enough. And the beauty of having a plan is you take the time to do it and you do it in one shot. So once it's done, you don't have to think about it. It's not, every day around 3 or 4, what am I going to do for dinner? You've thought about it once and it's done.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Mary Kenny is our guest, and we go to Jamie and Troy. Jamie.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. Jamie.
I have a question chicken. I feel like I have lost my touch, and you're talking a lot about chicken today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I'm purchasing it, it's very tough lately, and I'm talking about pretty much like boneless chicken breast, which is, and sometimes thighs, or the roast chicken seem to come out okay, but I don't know. Is there a change, or do I need to prepare it a little bit differently?
Jamie,
do you notice if there's anything?
Is it a conspiracy?
I have.
Is there a conspiracy in the chicken world? Yeah.
Well, the lawyer in me wants to do some investigation on this because I agree with you. I ran into this a few weeks ago with a client that I am giving some private cooking lessons to. And, I noticed it actually the day before I purchased some chicken for myself. I went home, I made it the same way I always make it. And it was just,
it was
like rubber. So
yes.
I don't know if there is a change. And it is something that I will look into.
Oh, come on. This is anecdotal information.
I know,
two people who have tough chicken. I mean,
well,
you know.
It's just.
Well, I consider myself a fairly resourceful cook.
Yeah.
And a pretty good cook. A lot of what you're talking about, I kind of experiment with, so I don't think I'm quite a newbier, but
yeah.
You know, so I just I'm interested in your opinion in that.
I will look into it and I will see what I come up with, and you can find a business page for me, Legal Pantry, on Facebook, and I will see what I come up with in my research and I'll share it.
Well, very interesting.
Because I think it's a really good question. I think it's a really good question.
Yeah, and I've bought brand name. I've bought. You know, in the grocery store prepared, it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Very interesting.
Maybe I'm buying like pre-frozen Purdue, and maybe that's an issue.
Am I allowed to say a product name?
Well, not in a detrimental fashion.
No, it won't be detrimental.
Okay.
I do a lot of my shopping at the co-op because I like that they have a lot of local ingredients. And they carry Misty Knoll chicken out of, I think it's Vermont.
Misty Knoll?
Yeah.
She was a dancer. That's another joke.
I do think if a person has the means to do it, spending a couple extra dollars on a good quality chicken or something local, Laughing Earth Farm.
Well, see, that's the issue is I'm not buying cheap stuff.
Right. No,
I
get
cheap
it.
Stuff. I'm just... You know, I'm out in the market like everyday people, and I'm trying different things, and I'm like, wow, this is really.
And you know how to cook, Jamie? You're okay. You're not.
I'm okay.
I believe Jamie. I think she knows
all right,
what she's
so
doing.
The Trilateral Commission may be behind this. Hey, Jamie, we gotta go, but thank you.
It's the Russians. It's a conspiracy.
Thank you.
It is. It always comes down to the Russians. Our guest is Mary Kenny. It's Conspiracy Hour here on the program, and let's go to Judy in Niskayuna. Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Mary. I had a question. The last couple of weeks, we have been without a kitchen because we are redoing our kitchen. So we've been doing a lot of grilling, a lot of creative grilling all kinds of things like bok choy and squash and what have you, even Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids are still looking for their grains because they like their rice, they like their pasta, things you can't typically cook on the grill and don't do so well in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had any... thoughts on other
Does your grill have a burner, like a side burner?
It doesn't have a side burner.
Okay. Well, quinoa cooks up pretty quickly. You might want to experiment and try if you can find not the hot spot on your grill, but start using your microwave, get the water as hot as you can, put it into a saucepan that you would be able to put onto the grill. And keep it covered tightly and see if use a little bit less water than you normally would. And after about 10-15 minutes, check it. You might have to experiment a little bit. This is, you know, I'm just kind of, this is what I would do if I was trying to cook a grain on the grill. Quinoa cooks pretty quickly. So you might have to experiment, but try it in small batches and see how that works.
Okay, we'll give it a go.
Judy, how long will you be without a kitchen?
Yeah.
It's been most of April, and I think we might have a week or two more.
Wow. You got a heck of a contractor there. Well, good luck.
Another quick suggestion? You might try wrapping it in foil, like some rice with... There are some pretty fast-cooking rices. There's a jade rice that you can get. You can get it in bulk at the co-op. That cooks really quickly, and if you put that in there with some chicken, something that's going to have some juice to flavor it, and a little bit of liquid, whether it's a chicken stock or some wine, that might steam it all together within that packet.
Okay, great.
Judy, are you going crazy waiting for a whole month for your kitchen?
we're doing okay.
Good for you.
We're being creative. Like tonight we're having tuna and bok choy and pineapple on the grill because we don't have the rice. But
that sounds great. Well, that's good. Well, listen, you have the patience of a saint. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Have a good weekend. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Mary Kenny is our guest, and we'll talk more about delicious foods that you can prepare and serve whenever. Coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, RollingRockSalt.com for upcoming markets. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, RiverValley.coop. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, announcing outdoor market on River Street starting Saturday, May 6th. Featuring farm-fresh produce and handmade goods every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org. And Roundhouse Bakery, Cambridge, New York, featuring baked goods along with coffee, teas, soups, and sandwiches using locally sourced and organic as available produce and ingredients. Facebook.com/Roundhouse Bakery Cafe.
Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 2:40 on your Friday afternoon. We're joined today by Mary Kenny, and her website and company is Legal Pantry. So it's legalpantry.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Some guests that I have on, they're not quite sure.
No,
Rocco DeFazio, I ask him, he doesn't know. And,
it's very easy, legalpantry.com.
Okay. All right, this one came in via email, and then we'll get back to the phones. This is from Mark. I work 50 to 60 hours a week. I love to cook, but there just isn't enough time. My favorite thing to eat is lasagna, but the only quick options are the cardboard-tasting ones in the frozen food section. A real lasagna always takes so long to make. Do you have any recipes for a really good lasagna for people on the go? And that's from Mark.
Oh, goodness. Well, to do a fast lasagna, perhaps getting some of the fresh pasta sheets would save you some time. Well, can you read the question? Just
I sure can.
About
would
what
you
he
like
said about the
it's kind of like being in court. You want to read back the
transcript? Can you read that back to me,
please? Yeah, sure. I work 50 to 60 hours a week.
I'd just love the part about the lasagna.
Ah, all right, counselor, stand by. My favorite thing to eat is lasagna. Okay, you got that stipulated. So stipulated. A real lasagna always takes so long to make. Do you have any recipes for a really good lasagna for people on the go?
A good lasagna for people on the go. Well, that would mean having the ingredients on hand, which takes some planning. So you can make sure that your pantry is well stocked, plan ahead, shop for your fillings. And you can get really creative with lasagnas. You can put roasted vegetables in there. It's a great way. You can use it as a vehicle for leftovers.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but yes. You can freeze it. You can prepare it and bake it, right?
You can prepare it and not bake it. You can prepare it, bake it, and then cut it into individual portions and freeze it. So there is a lot of work involved in lasagna. I think a lot of people, when they want to do something quick or they're trying to swap out different ingredients, they're looking for things to be the same,
yeah,
like a gluten-free and dairy-free mac and cheese. And they want the end product to taste just like a regular mac and cheese. And it's not going to. Mm. And you have to be okay with that,
yeah,
because it can be delicious in its own right, but it's not going to be the same. So a fast lasagna, you know, you can get the already made pasta sheets that will save you the time of the boiling, but you still have to make the filling. So,
well,
you know,
so there's
no
easy method. So Mark is just trying to ask you a question to increase your billable hours. I think that's what the bottom line. Let's go back to the phones. Rose in New Windsor. Rose, you're on.
Hello. I have an answer to the tough chicken question that was posed earlier.
I knew it.
A friend of mine has been a butcher his whole life. His dad was a butcher, and his nickname is the Chicken Man. So he was the guy to ask. And I said to him, you know, lately I go to the Chinese restaurant. I can't even chew the chicken. Lately in the restaurants, it's tougher. What's going on? He said, it's chicken from China and it's rooster.
What?
He said, it's a whole new thing and it's not good. And he said he doesn't really know what to do about it because that's the supply. That's what's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to a chef in an Italian restaurant I go to all the time. They make the best chicken parm, but lately it's been tough. And I said, so what gives, Frank? He said, I don't know. The chicken is just so tough lately. So I think my friend, the Chicken Man, may be right. It's the rooster coming in from China.
Okay, but what about the stuff you buy in the store?
Another reason to shop local.
Well, that's where I buy my chicken. But these are restaurants, so they're getting it from, I guess, all over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, very good. I mean, is the stuff you make at home, Rose, is it tough?
That's not tough, because I'm getting, you know,
Purdue or Tyson or whatever, but right. It's in the restaurants, especially Chinese lately. I mean, it's so tough you can't even cut it with a knife, which you don't need to do with Chinese food. But anyhow, I thought I would just call in with my input.
That's interesting.
Thanks, Rose. We appreciate the call. And Peter in West Stockbridge is on. Peter.
Hello.
Hi, Peter.
I wanted to mention what my wife does with chickens. She will do on a Sunday night, she'll roast it on a bed of onions. And the next day, I'll have chicken sandwiches. And she will take all the carcass and the skin and put it in a pan of water on a slow boil for 24 hours on Monday night so that she has that really tasty liquid in the fridge all week to just throw on the any vegetables we're cooking or to make a soup. And that chicken that some people complain about the price when you get it from the co-op goes a really long way if you make a broth with it, the carcass.
Peter, I don't know if anybody ever told you this, but your wife is a very smart woman. You're using all the chicken. I also make chicken broth on a regular basis. I like to use my slow cooker for that because I can set it and forget it, as they say. I have a gas stove. I don't like to leave it going for that long. So I'll just put all of my chicken bones right into the crock pot with, you know, the onions and celery and just let it go. I just turn it on low and I just let it go for 24 to 36 hours. So, and then you always have this delicious broth on hand that is great to cook with.
There you go.
That is a challenge, getting it low enough on the burner. And we use a big fat diffuser and a gas stove on the lowest flame. Yep.
If you have a large slow cooker, that might be something you want to try. And
sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Peter. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Mary Kenny on the program today on this Food Friday. Emily in Palmer, Massachusetts. Emily, you're on.
Hi. I was actually calling in with a suggestion for what I do with chicken, especially chicken breasts, because I also find they get tough.
Okay.
And I think because they are such a lean protein, it's hard to keep juice in them when you cook them. And I find soaking it in buttermilk for 24 hours ahead of time really helps keep it nice and soft.
Have you heard of that, buttermilk?
I have heard of that. Yeah, really? that's a great idea. A lot of people will soak if they're making fried chicken.
Yeah.
They will do an overnight soak in buttermilk. So,
and if you don't have buttermilk, doing whole milk with 2 tablespoons of lemon juice.
Yep, that will work too. No, that's a great, that is an excellent suggestion, and she's right, it does work.
And Emily, are you finding that the chicken is now more tough? Are you a chicken
really,
truther?
But I think that chicken breast meat has always been kind of tough.
You know, I think you need some fat in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good point. Emily, thanks a lot.
And not overcooking it.
That's always.
And also, you know, with pork chops, people find that pork chops get tough and dried out really quickly.
And that's a struggle on the grill, especially, because you want to make it sure it's cooked fully, but you don't want to dry it out.
Well, if you have the time to do a brine first, then that's a great way to hold in the moisture.
Brining is great.
It is great.
And so when you brine, and we've had Rick Orlando on, and he has a method that we use at home for Thanksgiving, but how do you brine?
When I'm brining, I mean, it's usually for my weekly clients, so I don't have a tremendous amount of time to do it for a long duration, but I just do it in a solution of water and salt.
Any spices?
A little bit of sugar, a bay leaf, if I've got some chopped garlic on hand, and then with pork, I like to actually add maple to the brine because that gives it a nice flavor.
Oh, that's a great idea. So, how much? Not a lot, I would
if
presume.
If let's say that 4 cups of water, I would put in about a half a cup of maple syrup.
Oh.
Yeah,
and
enough so
do you
that
get
you
the
flavor. Yeah.
You do get the essence?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our guest today is Mary Kenny. It is Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ron in Hyde Park. Ron.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to the woman who was worried about doing grain on her grill.
Sure.
You know, there are a couple of other options. We went through this when we had our kitchen remodeled. You can get a rice cooker fairly inexpensively. And you can make rice and some other grains in it. We found that worked. And if she really doesn't want to go out for whatever it's going to cost to get a rice cooker, there's always a Chinese restaurant, and you can get a couple of quarts of rice, regular rice, for like a buck, buck and a half. So there are options out there.
You make a point. Hey,
that
Ron.
Is, and something I thought of after we hung up with that woman was the rice cooker is a great idea. And you can also get those little individual electric burners for like $10.
Yeah.
You know, and they will boil water, and, you know, she can use that in the interim.
This email came in and said, what about couscous? That cooks up very easily on wood on the grill.
It does. Couscous isn't a grain. It's actually a pasta.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does.
It acts like a grain to some extent.
It does. It does. But that will cook very quickly, and that is a good idea.
Let's go to Juliana in Schenectady. Juliana, you're on.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Juliana.
I heard the question about the lasagna, and I have to say that one huge time-saving step that's worked for me for many, many lasagnas, I don't cook the noodles. I figured out I can do the ratio, and I use whole wheat pasta. So as long as I have enough sauce both under the noodle and over the noodle, I build it the day before, sometimes 2 days before, leave it in the fridge, and then put it in the oven. So it makes it... You know, you don't have to have all that time for that one meal. You can break it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I also cover the lasagna throughout the bake.
So you do not cook the pasta in advance. Have you heard of anything like that?
Yep, I've heard of that. I've actually never tried that method, but I have heard of it, and I've heard that it does work.
It works for you, Juliana.
Have you tried it with whole wheat, but with a regular pasta? Does that work too?
I haven't because that cooks faster and the whole wheat pasta takes a little bit longer. So that's why I feel like if you were using the, you know, enriched flour, the enriched noodles rather, it would also work for that. But you do have to have a really nice sauce to noodle ratio.
Okay.
And I also will do that with a Mexican lasagna, and mm-hmm. in lieu of the spaghetti sauce, I'll use, what's it called? Salsa.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
And tortillas. You can use tortillas instead of the pasta. Yep.
Well, thanks a lot, Juliana.
Sure thing. Thank you so much for the lovely program.
Thank you, and have a good weekend. Okay, now back to the chicken calls. Let's go to Deirdre in Hudson. You're on.
Hi, all. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hi. So I'm calling about the chicken, very popular chicken subject today. I'm a personal chef, actually. And I can't believe the poor quality of the chicken in the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to pay a little bit more for edible chicken. So I shop at Whole Foods, and I buy Bell and Evans chicken.
Yep.
And they have really great sales there. You can get chicken and stock up your freezer.
Okay. We don't want to do prices on public radio, though, okay? That's one thing.
No. I'm not going to do prices, but I'm saying that they also have organic chicken on sale sometimes, that's really good. I got that this week, and it was, you know, $8 for a chicken.
Okay,
and
well.
It's fantastic. It lasts. And also to say about the lasagna that I would make a couple of them. I make smaller ones, and then I freeze them.
Okay.
So that you can, you know, instead of making one really big one, make a couple of small ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think with something like that, if you're going to take the time to do it, do extra.
Yeah.
And then, you know, put it in the freezer. And you've got it for a long time.
Well, thank you for that call. We go to Greg in Pine Bush. Greg, you're on.
Hey, guys. I was calling in about the chicken. I've been cooking for years. I worked in, like, many Italian restaurants. So what I'm going to suggest doesn't work so good for grilling, but you take your chicken breast, clean it, and as it's laying there, you want to cut it into pretty much three pieces, one chicken breast, with the green, and then you kind of flip it up on its side, cover it with saran wrap, and tenderize it. Grab a tenderizer, you smack it out into a nice little cutlet, and then you can just saute it with a little bit of olive oil, and it's really good. I mean, you can batter it and use it for, like, franchise or bread it, mm-hmm. use it for chicken parm. It's great, like, again, anything in a frying pan with this method because it'll fall apart on the grill.
Right.
And when you cover it with the saran wrap, kind of keeps it from blasting apart. And mm-hmm. it's the most tender chicken, you know, I've ever had doing it that method. When the guy showed me, I was kind of blown away with how good it is, as opposed to just kind of, you know, slicing it into smaller pieces and cooking it just like that. Just to tenderize it. Kind of makes sense, right?
No, that's a great idea. And that's actually something that I suggest for people that are looking for fast ways to prepare food for weeknight meals is a lot of what you're making, if something is cut in a certain way, like you said, you cut it into smaller pieces and then you tenderize it, it's going to cook fast.
Yeah.
So just that method alone will save a lot of time. You're not roasting it. It'll be done in the pan in probably about 7-8 minutes.
Greg, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551, the number. Mary Kenny is our guest. A lot of chicken calls today.
I know.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting.
You'll run away screaming in a few moments. The show's almost over. Tony in Old Chatham. Tony, you're on.
Chicken.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Tony.
How are you guys?
Great, have you.
Listen, I'm a food service director, and I'll tell you right now, in most facilities, what they buy are, it's called random chicken breasts.
Random?
And they're horrible quality, I can tell you right now.
Okay.
And they're dirt cheap. And I tell you, over the years, they're incredibly tough. But what the lady said about the roosters is really interesting, and I'm going to check into that. I wonder if that's true.
I don't know.
Well, I do know that, I don't know about the meat itself coming from China, but I have heard that a lot of the chicken is, and it has
being
to do with the regulation,
there.
It's sent over there for processing, but the chicken
right.
does originate here in the United States.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah. yeah.
And so it's swapped out for roosters, presumably,
so the
over there?
They're raised
I don't know.
Here.
I mean, it sounds. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to talk to my wholesalers. I use a company out of Albany.
Okay.
And I'm going to look into it. I mean, we buy free-range chicken, and it's really, really good, but I have noticed that the chicken breast, even from the store, when I go with my wife shopping, they're tough. Even to pound them out, like I said, I mean, I'm a trained chef. Obviously, pounding it out, like the other gentleman said, makes a lot of sense. But even then, they're still tough.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, I guess there's really something to this. WAMC has learned. It's one of those newsroom things. Hey, Tony, thanks a lot. We've got to get a couple more calls in here. Sarah in West Stockbridge. Sarah, would you be calling about chicken by any chance?
Oh, yes, I would.
Okay, well, welcome
Sarah,
to the show.
By the way. Okay. I just want to tell you an alternate method of cooking the chicken, your expensive pasture-raised, organic, or whatever. Put the whole thing in a soup pot or the slow cooker. Cook it till the meat is done. Take the thing out. Let it cool. Pick off all the meat. Throw the bones back in for the bone broth. Mm-hmm. And then pick it all off, and you've just got all this huge volume of meat. But also, that broth is insanely flavorful mm-hmm. because you cook the whole chicken in the broth.
That's how I make
that's
my
just
chicken
a variation.
Soup. No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hey,
great
Sarah,
idea.
Thank you.
And
ahead.
The other thing, when you roast, if you put all different vegetables in there, all you have to do is add some vegetables, some chicken, and the broth, and you got soup instantly. It's like you get so many meals out of the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. Oh, I wish we had another call about chicken. Let's go to George in East Hampton. George, are you there?
Hey there. Yep.
Hi, George.
What's going on?
Hi. Okay, I'm calling about chicken.
Wow.
And we buy only certified humane raised and handled chicken, and there's a difference in quality, taste, tenderness, all of it. When you got factory farming and they don't care how they slaughter the animals and they scare the death out of them, such as Tyson and Purdue at factory farming, you've got the animals in a heightened adrenaline state, and it sends it right into the meat. It affects the flavor, and it affects the quality of the meat. Mm-hmm. So buy certified humane, raised, and handled.
Okay, man. Well, thank you for that one. And, I got to figure it'll either be chicken or lasagna. Let's go to Evelyn in Albany. Evelyn, you got about a minute here.
Well, two things quickly.
Okay.
Chicken, try kosher chicken.
Yes.
Once we get our raised like that guy just said about humanely handled and killed,
yeah.
And it's not as quite as tough. Lasagna. We've had a recipe for many, many years now where you don't bake pre-cook the noodle, and you make your layers, and you pour a cup of water around the edges at the edges of the pan, and then you seal it closely with aluminum foil. And it comes out fine.
Huh.
Now, and you use regular lasagna noodles.
That's okay. What I was going to follow up for Mary. So you use regular noodles, not the whole wheat.
Right.
Amazing.
And works fine. But you have, like that lady said, with adding extra sauce. Well, you put about a quart of sauce in the layers, but you put a cup of extra water at the edges, and you seal it up good. And if you're afraid your cheese is going to stick to the foil, spray it with cooking spray. You know, like Pam, and it keeps the cheese from sticking to the aluminum foil.
Well, Evelyn, I think that's all the time we have for this program, but thank you very much, and we appreciate it. Okay, Mary Kenny.
Start a chicken movement.
What did you think about this? A little crazy, huh? That's what happens on this show. One
it's the
topic,
chicken hour.
Exactly. One topic usually takes predominance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how do we find you?
You can find my website at www.legalpantry.com.
Okay.
And I'm also on Instagram, where you can see a lot of my food pictures, and I'm on Facebook, too.
Very good. And listen, thanks for the great food. Thank you for being here, and thank you, everybody who called
thank
in today.
Thank you for
today.
Having me.
Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine, open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5. BlueHeronDining.com. Gloriosa and Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals. Information at GloriosaCo.com. And Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting sustainability. FieldGoods.com for information. Thanks again to Mary Kenny for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was well-fed before the show started. Our engineer did a great job this week. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Alan will be back in the chair on Monday for a Medical Monday at 2 p.m. Right now, though, stand by for news.